Today on The Journey,
we're going to talk about the King's Invitation. And we're going to look at three stories that Jesus told as he gave a great invitation.
The invitation was so important that it had to be hand-delivered. God was not content with a mass mailing. This was personal. So personal that even if one were lost, the Savior would find you and bring you home. Today, Ron Moore tells the story of that invitation, delivered by the pierced hands of the Christ of Christmas. We'll get to that after a brief word about Ron's devotional titled, Journey Through the Gospels. In these daily reflections, you'll discover truths about Jesus you may have never seen before. Journey Through the Gospels is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message titled, The King's Invitation, On the Journey.
During this Christmas season, we've been involved in this series of sermons we've titled, Enter the King. We're going to talk about the King's Invitation. And I hope you don't mind, but I'm not going to go over the Christmas story as you may expect or we've done in the past. I'm going to assume that you know that fairly well, but we're going to look at three stories that Jesus told as he gave a great invitation. Now, one day, Jesus was teaching, and a group of people came to hear him teach. It was a shady group. There were sinners in it. There were tax collectors, and the religious people of the day did not like that Jesus hung around sinners and tax collectors. And so they started muttering to themselves, this Jesus hangs around some pretty shady people. Well, Jesus heard what they were saying. And so he told three stories that we want to look at tonight. They're recorded in Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to need some help with some of these stories. The first story is about a lost sheep. A lost little lamb. It's about a farmer, Jesus told, that had 100 sheep. And he cared for those sheep. He herded his sheep. He made sure the sheep were fed. But one night, he looked and he saw that one of the sheep was missing. And so here's what he did. He left the 99, put them in a pen, made sure they were safe, and he went off looking for that one lost sheep. And I need some help. I need a shepherd. Who can help me be a shepherd? Come on up. Here, I'm a shepherd. Come on over here. State your full name, please.
Christian.
What's your dad's name?
Barry.
I'm sorry. All right. You're going to be my helper, all right? And we're going to go look for that lost little lamb, all right? Now, if everyone's quiet, I want you to listen, and maybe we will hear the bleeding of a lamb. I bet it happens any time. See? I told you. Now, where do you think that could be? Okay? It actually sounds like it's coming from back there, but I'm pretty sure it's not. I'm pretty sure it's over here. I've learned that sheep are ventriloquists. Did you know that? Yeah, they can bleat different places. And I'm pretty sure that the sound's coming from over in this direction. Don't you hear it? You hear it coming? Okay, keep going. Because I think you're going to be very happy to find that one lost lamb. There you go. You carry it? Okay, don't let that thing go. In the first service, I picked some guys, and I had to carry it myself. I was a little nervous. I'm glad you're carrying it. You did a good job. Now, the cool thing was, after the shepherd went to find the sheep, that one lost sheep, over this way. When the shepherd came back and found the sheep, they had a party. So you could be really excited. What happens when you get really excited? Not much, huh? They had a party. They had gyros and, well, probably not gyros, but like hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff like that. So they had a party because they found. Now, why do you think Jesus told that story of that one lost sheep? Jesus wanted us to know that he cares for each one of us individually. And he loved us so much that he would send his son and look for that one lost person. And maybe one of those in the room this evening. Hey, thanks for getting that sheep for me. Let's give a Christian. Just take it home with you. That's fine. Now, there's another story that Jesus told right after that. He told these three stories right in a row. And the next story he told was about a woman who had 10 precious coins. They were great coins. And one day she went to look for them, and she found that one was missing. One was missing. So I need someone to help me. Fine, right there, come on up. I need you to help me find this lost coin. Tell me your name.
Christine.
Nice. You ever looked for a coin before?
Not really.
Not really? Well, here's the deal. You can find a sheep because it makes a sound, right? But sometimes a lost coin will be laying in a particular place and fall and make a sound. So let's just hope that that coin... How about that? The coin made a sound. Let's go, I think. Is it back here? Sometimes it's going back here. Pretty sure. What do you think? Think it's back here? I heard it come from this direction. Can anyone help? You didn't? Anyone help us? Oh, nice. Nice. There's the lost coin. Go ahead and grab it. Very good. All your 10 coins are back. It's not plastic. That's a very precious coin. You don't like my coin? It's just an illustration. It's not real. Okay. Why do you think, turn around, why do you think Jesus told the story about the lost coin? Any idea? Because he wanted us to know that he cares about each one of us individually and that he'd send his son to die for each one of us. And when we're lost, he cares enough to go find us. Good job. Thanks a lot. You can have it. It's only plastic. Jesus told one more story, and this is my favorite one. He told a story about a man who had two sons. And this man loved his sons more than anything else in the world. He loved them so much that he decided to help them along when he died. And so he left them an inheritance. And he told them about it. The younger son, though, did something that wasn't very smart, nor wise, nor nice. And he said, "Dad, I don't want to wait until you die. I want my money right now." And it was a very sad day when that dad gave that younger son his part of the inheritance. After a few days, the son got all the stuff together. Says it took a while to kind of figure out where he's going to go. And he took all the money and he got a bag and put in that bag his Wii and his DS and his Xbox. Yeah. And his iPhone. And then he put in his most precious possession, the Sonic drive-in gift card. And he left home and he went as far as he could go. And scripture says that it wasn't long before he had spent all of his money, every last cent. Scripture says on wild living. Right about that time, a famine hit the land. He could find only one job, and that was feeding pigs. He had to sell all his stuff, and he had to go in and feed the pigs. And scripture says that he was so hungry. He was so famished that even the pigs' food started looking good. And then the Bible says this. He came to his senses. And he said, my dad's back home, and he has food. In fact, his servants are eating better than me, and I'm a son. But I've done something really bad. And I'm not even worthy to be called his son. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to tell him, I have sinned against God, and I've sinned against you. And I am not worthy to be called your son. Please just let me be one of your house. I live in the barn. I'll live with the rest of them. I'll eat whatever they eat. Please just let me be your servant. The Bible says, it's interesting, as he was away, his dad was doing something. His father was waiting. And we can only imagine that every day, that dad would go out and look down the road and just pray. That would be the day his son came home. One day, he looked down the road and it says he saw his son at a distance. But you know, a father always recognizes his son, even at a distance. And it says he ran to meet him. The son saw his father coming. And he said, Dad, I'm so sorry. I'm not worthy to be called your son. If I could just be a hired servant, I would appreciate it. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against our family. And most of all, I've sinned against God. And the dad said, not another word. He told the servants to go get the best robe and put it on this son, demonstrating that this son was welcomed home. Then he gave him the ring, the family ring. Now he had all the authority of the family. Servants didn't wear shoes, so he said, go get him some shoes and put on his feet. You know what the father said? The son of mine who was dead is now alive. The son who was lost is now found. And they threw a great party to welcome the son home. Why do you think Jesus told that story about that boy? Because this. He wanted to know how important each person is. And he wanted to demonstrate that even when we go astray, he loves us so much that he'll welcome us back home. Now I'm going to close in just a second, but I'd just like to talk to two groups of people. Some of you are here this evening and you've done the Christmas Eve thing just because you're supposed to do the Christmas Eve thing. But I want to invite you into a relationship with the living God. Christmas is about Jesus coming not only in a manger, but more important, Jesus went to the cross. And there on the cross, he died for your sins and he died for my sins. He did for us there what we could not do for ourselves. On our best day, with our best efforts, we cannot achieve a standard that is high enough for the Holy God. So Jesus came and did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And so I'm just praying this would be the night when you accept the invitation of the King. And you would say, I am a sinner. I am not worthy. But I put my trust in Jesus Christ, who is fully God, fully man, as my Savior. And tonight I trust in him. Man, that is our prayer for you. One more group, and I'm done. Some of you may be here, and you've done the Easter thing. And there was a time when you trusted in Christ, and you were baptized, and you were walking with the Lord. But that was a long time ago. And today, you're far from home. You can't remember the last time you picked up your Bible. You can't remember the last time you've been involved in the fellowship of Christians. You look at the friends you have around you, and they are anything but the friends that are going to help you in your walk with Christ. And you find yourself at the same spot as that boy wallowing in the mud. Now, your mud might look pretty successful, but it's mud nonetheless. And you know inside you are empty. And tonight we're praying that you come to your senses and come back home. The story is often called the story of the prodigal son, but that's kind of a misnomer. You know what it is? It's the story of the gracious, loving Father who welcomes his sons and daughters back home after they've gone astray. You see, God loves each one of you so much that he would send his only son to die just for you. And when you're lost, he goes out to find you.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Would you like to sense the anticipation of the people as Jesus stood up to preach? Would you like to feel the joy and wonder as the scales fell from the eyes of the man born blind? Would you like to see Jesus for the first time all over again? Well, that can be your everyday experience with Ron Moore's devotional titled Journey Through the Gospels. In these 365 insightful meditations, Ron takes you on a challenging journey through the life of Christ. Along the way, Jesus will touch your soul and spirit with life-changing truths and tender affection. Journey Through the Gospels is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
I want to start by reading from a book called The Pursuit of Holiness. If you have not read this book, you need to. It's by a man named Jerry Bridges. And I want you to listen to a little scenario that Bridges puts forth and see if maybe, just perchance, you can relate. Bridges writes this. The shrill ring of the telephone shattered the stillness of the beautiful, crisp Colorado morning. On the other end is one of those utterly impossible individuals God seems to have sprinkled around here on earth to test the grace and patience of his children. Do you know anyone like that? This individual, he was in top form that morning, arrogant, impatient, and demanding. I hung up the phone, seething inside with anger and resentment, and perhaps even hatred. Grabbing my jacket, I walked out into the cold air to try to regain my composure. The quietness of my soul, so carefully cultivated in my quiet time with God that morning, had been ripped into shreds and replaced with a volatile, steaming emotional volcano. As my emotions subsided, my anger turned to utter discouragement. It was only 8:30 in the morning, and my day was ruined. Not only was I discouraged, but I was confused. Only 2 hours before, I had read Paul's emphatic declaration, "For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." But despite this nice-sounding promise of victory over sin, there I was, locked in a vice-like grip of anger and resentment. Does the Bible really have answers for real life? I asked myself that morning. With all my heart, I desired to live an obedient, holy life. Yet there I was, utterly defeated by one phone call. Anyone besides me relate to that? We desire to live this obedient, meaningful, impacting life for Jesus Christ, the one we love and the one we serve. Every day, it's our desire as Christians to follow the King. And then that car cuts us off. A testy, tense interaction with the child causes our emotions to rise. The person at work does something or says something to get under our skin again. And then for the Christian, here's what happens. Listen to Bridges. He says it so well. As my emotions subsided, my anger turned to utter discouragement. It's only 8:30 in the morning and my day was ruined. Not only was I discouraged, I was confused. With all my heart, I desired to live a life of obedience, yet there I was, defeated by one phone call. How does that happen? Today we come to the end of a series we've been calling Enter the King. We started with the King's arrival, and we saw that Jesus came
into a messy world under messy circumstances to deal with the messiest problem of all, that being the sin in the human heart. We looked at the king's message, and we saw the one message that Jesus gave with us. It's not about all the outward stuff. It's about your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. We saw the king's humility as Jesus humbled himself all the way to the cross. And then we saw the king's invitation. And we saw that God loves us so much that he would send his son to die for us. And when we are lost, he will go find us and bring us back home. This morning, we want to talk about the king's presence. And let's start with this passage of Scripture, John 14, verses 16 through 18. Before Jesus went to the cross, he had this heart-to-heart conversation with his disciples. But it applied to all of us to this very day. And Jesus told them this. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now let's just think through that. First, Jesus says, I will give you another counselor. So who's the first counselor? Jesus himself. And he's the one who gives us everything we need to know for life and living right here in this word if we take the time to read it. Here is our counsel. But Jesus said, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to raise from the dead. And then I'm going to ascend to heaven. And I'm going to send you another counselor. And that counselor, he will be with you forever. He's the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. Now, the world cannot accept him. The world doesn't see him. The world doesn't know him. The world doesn't understand him. The world doesn't experience him. But it's different for you. You know him. Jesus says, he lives with you. And when I go, he won't just be with you. He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So here's the deal. When you trust in Christ, the presence of the King lives in the person of the believer. The presence of the King, the Holy Spirit, lives within us. Now, what difference is that making in your life? Why are we still so defeated by those phone call incidents? I want you to think about something. Think about a time within the last week you lost it. Maybe it spewed out of your mouth. You lost it that way, and everyone saw that you lost it. Maybe you wanted to spew out of your mouth, but you just lost it inside. Maybe it was that habitual sin you fell into again. Or maybe it was something that just took you by surprise. Think of that time this past week you lost it. Let me ask you. When you were losing it, where was God during that time? Well, if you're a believer, living in you. So how can that happen? How can it be that God is in us and we can still lose it by phone call situations?
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please visit our website to order your copy of Journey Through the Gospels. This daily devotional will enrich your walk with the Savior and increase your understanding of his life and ministry. Journey Through the Gospels is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. You know, a beloved picture of relationship, connection, and community is that of sitting around a table and sharing a meal. Sadly, we've lost this sense of belonging in 2020. Now we're sitting apart in different chairs of life. Some are chairs of restlessness or uncertainty or even emptiness. And the only one who can satisfy our longing for connection is the Savior who came into the world to dine with us, Jesus, the one we celebrate this Christmas season. Come, behold him. Sit beside him and enjoy a scriptural feast called The Table. It runs through January 3rd at the Bible Chapel in McMurray. Visit BibleChapel.org now to reserve your spot for this uplifting sermon series. BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Also, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.